Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We've been in this series called This Is Our Church for the month of February, and we've been investigating our values by listening to different people in the community share their story. Last week, we had a Story Sunday. We got to hear from Christy and some other people, and over the month, we've heard from different people on our pastoral team sharing their perspective on our core values. We've heard from Rebecca and Ricky. We heard from Joanne and Doug. And this morning we're going to hear from Mike and Ruben. And we're going to look at our last two values. And those two values are on the screen for us now. The values of generosity and spiritual formation. So thanks for joining us, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it, Mike.
Didn't really have a choice. You told us we had
Yeah,
to.
Okay. Generosity. I'm gonna choose to be generous with you as you make snide remarks at me. Okay. Ruben, tell us a little bit about generosity and your experience, honestly now, as much as we can be honest and serious, but tell us about your experience of generosity in the life of Living Waters Church as a pastor and in amongst the lives of the people who make up this community. How have you seen generosity worked out over the years that you've served here? Have you served here for, 7, 8 years now? Is that about right? Okay.
Yeah, I love this value of generosity, and I love seeing it worked out in so many different ways here at Living Waters. And generosity is more than just financial giving, but it's also us being generous with our time and our energy and our gifts. And it's so neat to see people in our community and our church doing those things and being generous in many ways all throughout the year. And this past December, we had a chance as a church to exercise generosity financially by giving different gifts financially. I don't know why I'm struggling with the word financially. Giving different gifts, finances, that's the word, to organizations in Langley who are doing incredible work for helping others who are in need. And I had the honor of being able to deliver some of those gifts to a few of those organizations. And so I got to deliver one to the Langley Christmas Bureau and then also to a couple of the food banks in Langley. And the funny thing is that I kind of approached it like I was just running some errands, like who needs to drop these checks off to these places? And so I was like, yeah, I'll go do it. And so I went into town, and I was very, very impacted by that experience. I went to the Langley Christmas Bureau and walked in there and just said, hey, I'm from Living Waters. We just have a gift for you. You know, you don't want to make a big deal out of it. And they're like, oh, sorry, we have to do some paperwork in order to receive this. Can you come sit down? I'm like, oh, can I just give this to you? Go. And so I sit down with this lady, and because of the paperwork they had to do, they had to open up the envelope and, like, look at it. And so she opens up the envelope. She's like, oh, thank you so much for coming. And she kind of, like, did that. And she's like, wow, thank you so much. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's just from our church. And she's like, Gene, come over here. Come look at this. And like, so all these people are crowding around and like, thank you so much. And they were just like blown away. It ended up being this big deal. And it was awkward, but it was also such an honor to represent an incredible community like ours and to be able to say, like, you know, we love you. We care. We love the work that you're doing. And here, let us help in any way we can. And then I continued to drop off these gifts to food banks in Langley, and just handing it to these people who are giving their lives and giving so much to help those in need, and them seeing a gift from a community like ours and going, wow, like, I don't know what we'd do without this. This is exactly what we needed right now. It's such a busy time, and so it was such a gift to be able to do that and to see our generosity at work and the impact that it's having firsthand. And so like there's that side of things, like the financial side of things, but there's so much more to generosity. And I love watching our community all throughout the year serving and being generous with their time and their gifts and their efforts. And we have different groups and many different people who serve in the Langley community and beyond in so many ways, helping refugees in prisons, whatever that may look like. It's incredible. And my favorite time of year is really when we really emphasize that as a community with our Helping Hands initiative, which we do around Christmas every year, where we deploy hundreds of people from our community to serve in different areas with different needs in Langley. And one of those things that we do with Helping Hands is with Christmas hampers. And this past year, I personally was blown away by our community and the individuals in our church who help provide hampers for different families who are in need, both in our church, but also outside of our church. And as these gifts and these hamper items came in from our community, it was incredible to see because, yes, there's a list of needs for each family that we provide hampers for, but the people in our community went above and beyond, where they were bringing, like, it probably said, like, toy for eight-year-olds, and there's, like, this box, like, this big, this gigantic toy, and the
people... Like, seven of them, too.
Yeah, exactly, right? And the volunteers who were organizing the hampers were like, we don't know what to do with everything. Like, you've given too much. We have too many gift cards. And talking to families who were able to come and pick up these hampers, we're just like seeing them just blown away and not only feeling like the church has helped meet a need for them, which is a very humbling experience for many people, but also feeling like they've been given above and beyond what those needs were. And so, I felt so much pride in those times for our community and seeing these families and these people in our community, families who live just down the road in Kwantlen, who received hampers from us, just feeling just completely blown away by the generosity of this community.
So we know a little bit about what generosity perhaps has meant for this community and how we've tried to work out that value in different ways. As you said, there's a financial component to that, what we can do all together, but there's also a sense of personally owning that value of generosity through our time and our energy. How do you imagine we're going to continue or in fresh ways investigate and explore, work out this value of generosity? What's on the horizon for you when you think about generosity and our church?
Yeah, I would say, I think for me, the value of generosity, what I love the most about it is it causes us to kind of step out of our comfort zone. Being generous really stretches us all as individuals, but also as a church. But it also really reflects who Jesus is. And generosity is such a component of God's heart. And as we live out generosity as a church, as we live out generosity as individuals, we ourselves grow and we are pushed to rely on God more, to be uncomfortable. But as a church also, when we take those steps of generosity, we get to reflect who Jesus is in all that we do. And so as individuals, as a church, those around us are seeing who Jesus is and what his heart is for this world and for them as individuals. And so looking forward, I would love for us just to continue to grow in generosity, not just as a church, but as individuals, that if we're all growing and being open to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in the area of generosity, that as we go out in our everyday, as we go to our jobs, as we are in our communities, as we're interacting with those around us in our neighborhoods, if we practice generosity and as we are obedient to what the Holy Spirit's leading us in generosity, whether it's with our finances or our time or the gifts that we have to offer, to me that gets me pumped up. That if we can see more and more people in our community living that out and reflecting who Jesus is and people experiencing God's love and experiencing his character through the way that we're generous.
Right on. Mike, when you think about that word generosity, any comments from you about that?
Yeah, for me, it's actually deeply personal because I can be a hoarder. I want to be as efficient as possible. I want to save. I want to take it, you know, get the most advantage out of something. And whether that's, you know, selling something and trying to get the best price for it, or whether that's buying something and paying the least price for it, that's in my nature a little bit. So to hear that our church is generous and that people in our church is generous, it keeps me in check. So if I want to sell something and get the best, well, actually, no, because my church would do this and people in our church would do this, I just need to give it away. And that's going to hurt, but that's going to recalibrate me to live a life of generosity in different ways. And whether that's with things, whether that's finances or with my time. Okay, I want to be as efficient with my time, but actually, because our church is generous, I just need to be generous and okay with the deficit of that, right? And so that's how my mind works. And so our generosity as a church, your generosity, whether you own a business and we get to hear the stories of how your business is generous, or whether you individually just go above and beyond something, that spurs me on personally. I know it spurs each other on. So I would love us to keep telling those stories. We always say at Living Waters that we don't do this to pat ourselves on the back, but we do this because Jesus is generous, and we need to show each other and show the world just how generous Jesus is, and we can be generous as an example of that. And so that's where it gets deeply personal for me, and I want to hear more about it.
So there's almost an element of like spiritual formation to that. You've been challenged by that, and you've lived into it. But let's talk a little bit about spiritual formation, as those two are really very much connected in the life of a Christian. How have you seen us working out that value of spiritual formation? I know it's a tough question, because spiritual formation is this really wide-reaching, broad idea, but how have you seen us work that value out over the years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love walking with people through water baptism. Part of my role is to do that, to teach, to prepare, so that when we have water baptism Sundays, just like we did a few weeks ago, that people are journeyed along with, and whether that's a one-on-one coffee meeting or something of the like, a class. And what that tells me in light of our spiritual formation is that it's people stepping out in faith and walking closer with Jesus and intentionally doing so. We don't force people to be water baptized. They choose to do so. And just like spiritual formation says that we're all moving in one direction closer to Jesus, and we care about each other's journey along the way. And so the person next to you, you care about their spiritual journey. That's what we do together as a community. And so when I get to walk alongside with people in water baptism, I know that they don't know everything, and they don't need to know everything, and they don't care to know everything. What they need to know is that Jesus loves them, and they're walking closer with Christ. And the same thing with Alpha, as we get to celebrate different elements of people walking closer to Jesus. Alpha's a perfect picture of that. I remember a year and a half ago sitting with someone at an Alpha retreat, and she didn't know anything about Christianity. She hadn't grown up, but she was exploring Christ. And what was so beautiful about our conversation as she was asking questions, that it wasn't just about me telling her the answers. That's not what Alpha is, nor is what a lot of our conversation is. It's about us discovering God together, discovering Him in our life, and discovering who the Holy Spirit is along the way. That our spiritual formation isn't an end product, but actually the journey along the way. And that was so beautiful in those conversations with this individual through Alpha, is that she was exploring more of who God is based on a bit of knowledge, but also experience. And spiritual formation says that, as we all work together, as we all move closer to Christ individually, we all do that collectively as well. And we care about each other's journey, so it's not isolated, but it's us together. And so there's a beautiful ownership of that, of our own faith journey, but also each other's faith journey, where we help each other along the way.
I like that, because often I think in culture we talk about being an individual, I'm an individual, but in the church we talk about I'm a person, and persons are interconnected and interdependent. And I really like, that's a great point. Ruben, what are your maybe final thoughts on spiritual formation? How do you see that going forward? And then maybe Mike will close with what you imagine in the future.
Yeah, just to kind of add on to what Mike was saying about this idea of spiritual formation is us always, trying to grow and being open to the Holy Spirit working in us and transforming us so that we can grow and know Him more, but also see what God wants to do in our lives. And for me, I see that a lot in our life groups. And life groups are the perfect place for us to experience that, for us to grow, for us to do that together. And one example of that would be this past fall, there was a life group that was meeting together, and the leaders moved away, and there was a couple that decided to step up and take leadership of that life group. And I know it was a bit of a stretch for them, but they were willing to say, you know what, we're going to grow. We're going to allow ourselves to be stretched and step into this position. And it's been so cool to see this life group continue to grow together to the point where just a couple months ago, as they grew together, they really felt like God was saying, you know, our life group needs to be more than just us, getting together and learning and praying and growing in that way, which is a good thing. But we feel like we need to do more than that. And so they made a commitment that on a monthly basis, they'd find a different place to serve and to reach out of their group. And so just before Christmas, there was a family in our community who had a baby, and there were some needs in that situation. And their life group's like, we're going to step up, and we're going to make meals for them. We're going to be there for them. We're going to go visit them and care for them. And just hearing stories like that is super cool, because when we gather in those spaces and we make that commitment to grow and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we feel and sense God leading us into new places to have impact on those around us. And so that's what I love about life groups, and love seeing those things. And that's just one example of many that we see in our life groups.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you think this, the future, how else could we work this value out? What's on the horizon for spiritual formation?
I think even with generosity and spiritual formation, they're very contagious. We spur each other on, whether that's forward in some way, shape, or form. So I would love us to keep sharing that story of what Jesus is doing in our life. I would love us to keep sharing our story about what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And maybe that is even exploring the spiritual gifts in your life. Maybe that's exploring who the Holy Spirit is and how is he part of our everyday. And I think that spurs us on. I can't force someone to go be closer to Jesus. I can't force someone to experience the Holy Spirit. That would be a whole different church gathering here. But what we can do is inspire each one of us to be able to just go closer to Christ. And I think sharing that story, whether that's on a platform, whether it's sharing a story one-on-one in our life groups, let's talk about what God is doing in our life. Can we agree to that? Let's talk about what God is doing in our life and allow that to be part of our everyday. And I think that's a good thing.
Really cool. Thank you, guys. You know, over the month, we've heard from Rebecca and Ricky and Joanne and Doug and from the two of you today. So thanks for lending some thought to that and some perspective. Really, really appreciate it. We're going to hear from Dave in just a few moments. He's sharing at our Willoughby location right now, and he'll be back soon as we conclude our series of This Is Our Church, and we talk about the theme of growing. But before we do that, we're going to take a break and grab some tea and some coffee. So we got about 7 minutes or so to say hi to one another, take a bathroom break, take a coffee break, meet someone that you don't know, catch up with someone that you do know. We'll be back in a few more moments.
What a good month this is. What a good season we're finding ourselves in, considering this is our church. And as we are in our community's 80th year, we look forward to all kinds of things this coming year. And we wanted to begin this year with this title, This Is Our Church, because it means so much. We've attempted through the interviews you heard this morning in the last few weeks. I've kind of likened it to the idea of pulling back the curtain and looking in to discover the heart of this community, the values that shape so many decisions that are made over the years. As we think about the future, as we think about a bit of our history and the curiosity that we would all carry as we think about next steps. I want to say this before we read from Acts chapter 2, because I think this is an appropriate time to say this statement. On the heels of, at the end of this Is Our Church series. If you're here today and you've not considered Living Waters your church home, I want to encourage you to make that decision today. I really do. And based upon, maybe you've been on a journey with us the last few weeks, certainly as we've opened wide the curtain and you've looked in, there are a lot of great churches in the Fraser Valley, and Living Waters is a good community. So perhaps today that would move you along in your decision, and seldom would we make such statements of invitation, maybe worded in that way. But certainly having a series around This Is Our Church involves leaning in and making those good decisions. Julie and I, 12 years ago, when we moved from Victoria to Langley, we made Living Waters our church home. And what a good decision it's been for us, for our family. And I think that making a decision to have a good home church is really important, and so many good things come of it. Serving and being served, and we move forward with a values-based journey, and how cool it's been. So as has been noted, we've been looking at our values, and the seven values are on the screen here in front of you, and we've interviewed maybe 10 or 12 people, but I wish we could take an afternoon and interview everybody. I'd love to know what, if this is your church, I'd love to know what you think about these values, and how you are finding your way along in the expression or the activity of these values. Values are not on a wall. Values are in a heart. And certainly, as we are rediscovering and recommitting to values here in this 80th year, it of course means all of us taking a fresh look personally. I'd also love to know what you think about the future of Living Waters Church and how you're aligning yourself to be a part of the next season. When we take a look at Acts chapter 2, we find that a group of people, a local church, the church in Jerusalem, finding themselves in a very good season. Churches have seasons. Your life has a season. The ebb and flows, and churches have seasons, and we're in a great season as a community. In Acts chapter 2, we find reasons for this good season. That even rhymes. How beautiful. Acts chapter 2. I want you to find the word goodwill. And it reads like this. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Goodwill. It's on the right if you can't find it. This word goodwill, through study and definition, has two lenses to it. It references the goodwill of God, and it references the goodwill of a human or the goodwill of the people. And together, we see in this chapter, at this look into this community at this time, we see a really exciting season. In some ways, this is the reporting of the interplay of God's goodwill and the people's goodwill. So God's will. We talk a lot in this church about God's will. We sing about it. We pray according. We talk a lot. And it's important for us to understand God's will. And perhaps in a simple way, I could shed a bit of light perhaps to enlarge the narrative. We would know that God has a sovereign will. There are many predetermined things that God has done. The creation of the world. God wasn't looking for advice or help, right? That's a sovereign activity of God, the creation of the world. When God designed or created the plan of salvation through the gospel narrative, he wasn't looking for suggestions. He's just placing it out in front of people and giving invitation. When we think about the second coming of Christ, he's not looking for suggestions. The Bible describes in the New Testament that God's sovereignty will bring forth a second coming, which will lead us into our eternal destiny. And how important to pay attention to God's sovereignty. We also know that there's God's revealed will. And perhaps this would be best understood with discovering God's commands, God's words, God's ideas, God's direction, God's priorities. And certainly from the very beginning of time, God's been very open about his revealed will. He's told us what he thinks, and he's invited us to come along, God's revealed will. Deuteronomy 11, from the beginning of the Bible, if you would, look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. And so very clearly, the Bible places a decision upon us to carry the burden of choices that are not aligned with God's will, or walk in the blessing, if you would, of being a follower of Christ. And we see evidence of this in Scripture and all through human history. Social media shows us what Romans chapter 3 calls about the wage or the burden or concern and the experiences of choices. So there's war in the world, and there's disease in the world, and there is divisiveness, and there's hurt and pain that people experience. And perhaps, without trying to be too cookie-cutter here, perhaps there is a burden that has been placed upon mankind because they've chose to do things based upon God's revealed will, but haven't chose to make those decisions. We even see that played out about how the effect of the church has been the last 2,000 years, where the church has made decisions that really don't follow the heart of God, but really place upon people a burden unnecessarily. In Acts chapter 2, certainly, though, we see a group of people that are discovering the interplay of God's sovereignty as he pours out his Spirit, and alongside this people's determination to live good lives and make decisions that God would bless. So we know that God has a sovereign will, and he has a revealed will, and all of us find our narrative in that. What about the human will? As it relates to Acts chapter 2, they enjoyed the goodwill. So God's goodwill and human will coming together for a good season. Perhaps our human will could be best thought of as a gift entrusted to us to be used for God's glory. Or another definition, human will is the ability to choose, think, and act, and act voluntarily. In Scripture, tells us about the human will, describes God's will, and describes human will. John 7:17 says, "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God, or choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." So again, at the risk of somehow thinking there's a formula for this kind of conversation, which is not the case, what we do see in our text is a community of Christ followers enjoying the benefit of spiritual alignment and God's blessing. Acts chapter 2, a very good season. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They chose a path, right? They chose a path based upon their understanding of choosing a path of, as we heard today already, spiritual formation and generosity. Again, when we think about will and spiritual formation, God will never override your will to choose to live a life that promotes spiritual formation. He'll never override your will. He'll stand as one who invites, and he bids us come, and he spends grace and mercy all around our lives, and he bids us to come. He bids us come, come, come. He draws near, come, come. But he'll never override your will. So while that comes to us as a great gift in some ways, it does just charge upon us huge responsibilities. So by every choice we make and in every action we take, we are either formed to be more like God's Son Jesus, or we're being deformed to something less. And certainly in the area of generosity, God will never override your will to choose to live a life that promotes generosity. And so by every choice you and I make and every action we take with our resources, we're either gathering for ourselves like a storehouse, or we're giving out as a distribution center. There's only one of two ways. God will never, he'll invite us, He'll create promise, he'll answer prayer, he'll position us with stories around generous people, and but he'll never override your will. It's a gift given, creates huge responsibility. So what is obvious in Acts chapter 2 is that they exercised their will, and it was called goodwill, and how beautiful a season resulted. And friends, I think we find ourselves as Living Waters Church in perhaps a good season, in a new season. And we move along imagining that perhaps there's so much more that God's will would have for us, as would be the case in the Christian community abroad. God has so much more. And so when we think about the present numerical size of our community, we say, oh God, there must be more. Because the need And the requirement of goodwill to come alongside that need is it needs to be greater. Our size needs to be greater. Our serve needs to be greater. Certainly as a ministry team, we imagine more. We imagine more than 3 weekend services. We imagine more. We imagine more than Living Waters having just 2 locations. We imagine so much more. And it's not about growth for the sake of growth. It's about expressions of enlarging goodwill to help more. What brings clarity and timelines to these things is all about spiritual formation and generosity. For the more one would pursue to do, it requires greater generosity. And, of course, it requires greater commitment. But I would say this, that it's never the size of the room that you're in that matters. It's always the size of the heart in that room that matters. It's never the size of the room you're in that matters. It's always the size of the heart in the room that matters. And I'm so thankful for the heart of Living Waters Church. It's a heart that expresses goodwill. And because of that, I cannot be but curious to think about all the more that God has for us personally and us collectively. I would say this, because I know it's a question for a newcomer as it relates to generosity. I know it's on people's minds when people are interviewed and we talk about giving and the desire for us to consider a generous future so we can express more goodwill. Questions arise. This question arises, and I would say an answer to it. As a lead pastor of Living Waters Church, I do not know what anybody gives personally to this church, nor does our ministry team. And we will never know what you personally give. So because of that, it allows us to when we talk about giving, to talk about our giving. Because again, I only know what I give. I just got my income tax receipt. And you know as well. So while we respect privacy, when we come in a room like this, we can talk collectively about the potential of us doing great things for God together. And it would be the same about volunteer hours. There are so many people, and on any given week at Living Waters Church, there are hundreds of hours that people literally give to find a way to express the ministry of Living Waters Church during the week. And I don't even know half of what those people are doing and those hours. Why? Because there are so many things going on, and we're not pastor-centric. We're goodwill-centered, right? We're goodwill-centered. And so because of the present and because of the future, how awesome it is to think that we can expect you and I, because this is our church, that we're going to take greater steps in the future to see more goodwill find a platform, and because of that, more people helped. So thanks for being generous. And let's do more, because the need is great, right? And certainly, we don't imagine this to be all there is. We highlight of every year is the distribution of our generosity fund and how fun it is. Ruben mentioned in his interview about taking 3 checks to 3 food banks and how awesome it is. But is that it? The need's great. Is our gifts to global work, is that really all that's ever going to describe our global influence as a community? I think there's so much more. I love where we're at, but I think there's so much more. And spiritual formation and generosity lead us there. I want to invite the worship team to join me, if you can, as we prepare to sing his closing hymn. How beautiful it is to catch up to these people in this good season. And how good it is for you and I to catch up to Living Waters in this 80th year, in this good season that we find ourselves in. But notice the verse that we are considering today. Notice the benefits. Again, this beautiful goodwill of God, this goodwill of the people, created 2 observations in our text. It says that what is duly noted about what happened was the sharing of great joy. it says that the people benefited with great joy. The sharing of great joy. It's in the verse we read. The literal meaning of the word sharing is singleness or single-mindedness. The goodwill of no other impurity, unadulterated simplicity, unity. There's joy. There's joy. There's joy. So in the midst of all the work and all the labor and all the activity and all the hours and all the giving, what came back to them was joy. Why? Why joy? Because, friends, we were divinely designed to walk out God's sovereign plan for our lives, which includes knowing Him and living for Him. That's what God has for us. And that brings along with it joy. I loved Kirsten talking about the coldest night of the year. My observation yesterday, I was there walking. It was awesome. Walked with preteens and youth. It was beautiful. But what I noticed about value added, not just the money, it's the joy. I mean, there's great people in that parking lot, but where Living Waters was showed up, there's joy. Why? Because there's goodwill. There's goodwill. Better than anybody else? Not at all. There's good people all over the place. But certainly the expression of goodwill that flows through joy. Joy. And perhaps that is something that we could wish for each other. Joy. Joy. Joy changes everything. And lastly, it says, God shows up and He increased the church. So the goodwill of the people was matched with the goodwill of God, and God added to the church. And how beautiful a season it was. I want to invite you to stand as we close. In just a moment, Luke is coming. But we've already sang some good songs. Songs that have talked about Christ and His work. The characteristics of a Savior that loves us. The song that I've asked us to sing in closing in this series is all about you. So we're changing it a bit. We're changing the perspective. We're going to sing an old hymn, a new way. But this hymn is called Take My Life. And in this verses that we sing, you're in this hymn. Because it says, take my, take my, take my. And perhaps as we sing this, you could sing this in context of your relationship with your home church. And say, God, today I don't really have much to offer, but I'm just going to start saying yes. I'm going to start furthering. I'm going to lean in a bit more. And how beautiful it is to be on a journey in the 80th year of people just leaning in and allowing the Spirit of God to move us around and the good benefits that flow from people being responsible with their lives. So I think we can sing this. I know you sing it, but I know we can sing it today and perhaps discover it in a fresh way as God takes our lives, takes our church, and uses it for His glory and for our benefit.
Thanks for joining us today. As you leave, our host team is going to have our Lent guides available for you. So if you'd like one for this week, please pick it up. Everyone's going to get one in their hand next Sunday as well. And allow me to close us in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for how generous you are with us, how much you care about our maturity. And as you have chosen us today, Lord, we reciprocate and choose you. We ask that you'd help us to lead us further into being people of generosity, further into being people who are spiritually formed, who mature, who grow. Thank you for your intentions for our life. And we pray that you'd help us to see them clearly and hear them clearly this week and live into them. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Bless you as you go.